Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Monday, March 15th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 44, just beginning. This chapter, so it's the first paragraph in the preceding chapters, and we'll be discussing that one chapter, that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Robin P., the 12 Traditions, Alice G., and the readers of the text are Betsy H., Shelley E., and Kara L. The share ID for Sunday, yesterday, March 14th, the special edition is 16,579. That's 16579, and for Monday, March 15th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 16,582. That's 16582. And our newcomer greeter is Lorraine N., and the announcements person is Leslie M. Thank you all for your service. Our OA preamble, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition, states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I will now ask Robin P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Thanks so much, Mo. Thanks for your service. Hi, this is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. One, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives have become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Thanks so much.
And thank you, Robin P. And I will now ask Alice G. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Alice. I'm wondering if she checked in. Alice, press star one. Can't hear you. Kara, are you ready to read the 12 traditions? Kara?
Yep, I'm here. No.
Thank you. I think I goofed. I thought Alice had checked in. Can you read the 12 traditions for us?
Yes.
Thank you.
Let me... Okay, 12 traditions. This is Kara L., compulsive overeater. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all of our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thank you, Kara, very much for helping us out there. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone, and once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. And that's the star 1 button on the phone, not the mute button. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are just beginning chapter 4, We Agnostics, which is on page 44, the first paragraph in the preceding chapters. And I will now ask Betsy H. to get us started. Good morning, Betsy.
Good morning. Thank you. I'm Betsy H., recovered compulsive overeater in California. Chapter 4, We Agnostics. In the preceding chapters, you have learned something of alcoholism. We hope we have made clear the distinction between the alcoholic and the non-alcoholic. If when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking you have little control over the amount you take, you are probably alcoholic. If that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. This is an interesting paragraph because it's giving us a bit of a review from the three chapters we read before, which talked a lot about step one and about the nature of this illness of addiction. And I can relate, I can say that I was never a normal eater because it seemed like normal eaters would eat something delicious and they might talk a lot about it and enjoy it a lot, but then they would feel satisfied. They would lose interest. They would move on with their life. But me, on the other hand, I just got more and more obsessed with it and had to find excuses to go back to the kitchen to try to sneak more later, or go out and get more food later. I found that sometimes I could eat somewhat normally and maybe feel like kind of a normal eater, but then it wouldn't last forever. It might last for a couple weeks or a month or so, and then I would go back to the food obsession and binging on food and feeling horrible about it. So I had to look at, over the long haul, have I been able to eat sanely and normally? And for me, the answer was no. And as one of our members said, when I was enjoying my eating, I couldn't control it. And when I was controlling my eating, I couldn't enjoy it. I really relate to that. And here it says, you know, if we're having these symptoms, we can't control the substance. It says that we may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And that sounds pretty difficult, because it's like, how can I get a spiritual experience? If I knew that, I probably wouldn't need to come to a 12-step program. It's not as hard as it seems, because really, just one at a time, working the 12 steps, that is what will get me to a spiritual awakening or a spiritual experience each day, little by little. And that is what gives me the power that I don't have to compulsively overeat today. And with that, I will pass.
Well, thank you very much, Betsy, for getting us started. And so I'll just remind everybody where we're at, who's coming on. We're beginning the chapter 4, We Agnostics, the first paragraph on page 44 in the preceding chapters. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So with that, I'll open the lines for those who would like to share on this paragraph.
Lisa G.
Oh, hi, Lisa. Lisa G.
Hey.
Anyone else?
Evan U.
Evan U. Thank you, Evan.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Anyone else? Still warming up, huh? All right, well, in the keep with the time, let's go with those three. I have Lisa G, Evan U, and Deborah G. After that, I'll take some more names. So, Lisa, good morning.
Morning, Mo. Thanks for your service. This is Lisa G from Texas. And what hit me, and that what I mean, I relate to the whole paragraph, but if that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. Yeah, I am definitely suffering from an illness, and it's an illness of control and wanting to understand and wanting to make my world fit into the lines that I've drawn. And I always thought before that the spiritual experience was like some amazing miracle that I would see, like the blind seeing, or, you know, somebody's leg growing out that was too short, something just spectacular, a burning bush. And what I'm seeing now in my recovery is that a spiritual experience for me is that I'm giving up control. And the sponsor that I have now, she'll say, well, it sounds like you're having a spiritual experience over something I've written in the steps. And it's like, really? I never put that together. So, but I am now, because it's changing me. And me trying to rule the world and be God has only hurt me and a lot of other people. But just letting a higher power be higher power and not trying to be that is a spiritual experience for me. Thanks, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa G. Evan U, followed by Deborah G. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning. This is Evan U from California. Hey, everybody. Thank you all for your service. Yeah, this is powerful for me. I, you know, it's like when I read this one sentence, if you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely, or if when eating you have little control of the amount you take, you are probably an alcoholic. I mean, that's me. It's like I this time around, I mean, I've always known, I've known for a long time, like I'm a compulsive overeater, but I didn't realize, or it's just become more progressive, how powerless over food I am. You know, I'm abstinent today. Maybe I could be called recovered. I don't, that term doesn't really work for me. I get too arrogant or cocky if I say recovered, but like even today in my abstinence, I don't have the power of choice in my food. It's only by the grace of God that I'm not reaching for and eating the things, and I'm not having the desire to, but I realize that comes not from me, because I don't have any power. I didn't know that before. The not eating is coming because of this vital spiritual experience produced by working the steps. And I am an incredible lover of the steps, because it's the only thing I know that guarantees a spiritual awakening and delivers, you know, every time. And the spiritual awakening this time has been such that it is, you know, God is shaping my food and saying, this is what I want you to eat. Before, in the past, when I've worked the steps and, you know, I had good recovery, 8.5 years, 6 years, you know, but not permanent recovery. It's been, I have this food plan that I've created, and then I sort of have God to support me. And that's not the way it's been this time. It's been a vital spiritual experience guiding all of my food choices and guiding my moment-to-moment living that is creating a different way of living with food. And food has just become the template for unwriting all my ideas. I have all this head full of nutrition and all of that, and all that has to go. Every single idea I hold on to is in the way of me hearing God in relationship to my food. And that's becoming true across my life. It's like all my ideas have to go so that I can hear God. Anything I hold on to is a place where God can't flow, food or not food. So I'm so grateful for this fellowship and this meeting that has grown up around seriously studying these steps, which are, for me, miraculous. Hope you all have a great day, and talk to some of you soon. Have a great one. Bye.
Uh-huh. Thank you, Evan, very much. Deborah G. After Deborah G., I'll be able to take more names. Good morning, Deborah.
Come here, doggies. Come here.
Oops.
Come here, peanuts. Come here, Rocky.
Okay, go ahead, Deborah. It's okay. Go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for being of service, and everyone else that's been of service, and all those that have shared so far. It's been wonderful just being reminded. And what popped out for me, and I'm so grateful, it pops out a lot for me, is honesty. Honesty was the saving grace for me, because I kept believing the lie that I wasn't a compulsive overeater. I kept going to the food for power rather than to that power in step two, and repeatedly doing that and doing that and doing that. And that was in itself experience showing me that I could no longer do this. And honestly, looking at myself and looking at my behavior, looking at my thinking, looking at my words, looking at my behavior, and seeing the truth that I wasn't being honest. And then looking at, if I can't do this, then that freedom of going through the rest of the steps, you know, seeking something because I can't do this anymore. And that was going through the rest of the steps to have a spiritual experience that would help, because I can't, again, what was said to, I love, I can't do this with the food. I can't do my life. It's like my prayer is becoming, help me. Help me, you know, and I have a beautiful relationship now, deeper, with a spiritual entity, with that presence, with that power, which with that love, you know, with that everything, you know, most of all that power, and turning to that. And thank you all so much again. That's all I have.
And thank you, Deborah G. I will remind everybody, we're just beginning chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 44, and we're starting with the first paragraph in the preceding chapters. And if, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I will take some more names.
Gusty N.
Gusty N.
Carol N.
Carol N. Got a couple N's there. Anyone else here? Press star 1 to unmute.
Pamela R.B.
Pamela R.B.
Dory P.
Dory P. All right, we'll go with that group in the sake of time. Gusty N, Carol N, Pamela R.B., and Dory P. Everyone else, please mute. Gusty, you are up. Thank you.
Thank you so much. This is Gusty N, recovered by the grace of God, one day at a time. I'm calling from the Eastern Panhandle of West Virginia, where we honor the Massawomic as the earlier inhabitants of this land. And I am focused today on, as others have said, that word honesty. But this time in that sentence that says, if when we honestly want to, we can't stop. And how many times I have said I want to stop, believed even I wanted to stop, but at the end of the day, really just didn't want to stop. Eating the food that I wanted to eat. And I don't really know what else to say other than how many times I had to relapse in order to finally want to stop. But in my heart of hearts, for a really, really long time, I just plain did not want to, even though I said I did, even though in my mind I believed I did, but truthfully down where it really counted, I didn't. And so I guess I'm just saying that for anyone who's also on that journey, that we can't force ourselves to want it. We can't force ourselves to really in our heart of hearts want to stop. And so even that, I have discovered, is a gift from higher power, the genuine desire to want to stop. I had to even surrender that to my higher power. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Gusty N. Now we have Carol N, followed by Pamela R.B. Good morning, Carol.
This is Carol N, recovering compulsive eater from California. Thank you all for your service and always being there for me when I need you. I finding out that this was an illness was such a relief to me. It just made me understand why I was acting the way I was. And then finding visions and that there was a solution, reading that there was a solution. Oh, my goodness. Just, it was just such a relief that I knew there was something I could do to help. And then not just me, but my higher power has given me such a serenity and a way to live my life now. I am so grateful for everything. And thank you for always being there. I pass.
And thank you, Carol N. Up next, we have Pamela R.B., followed by Dory P. And after Dory, I'll be taking more names. Good morning, Pamela.
Hey, Mo. Good morning. Good to hear you on the line. Hey, I'm Pamela, a compulsive overeater and recovery just for today here in Detroit, Michigan. So grateful to be here. Wow, what an opening here. You know, I really like this, especially for me, because when I came in the program, I didn't understand that. Let me put it this way. I didn't want to identify as a compulsive overeater. I wanted to be anything else, you know, anything, you know, just weak-willed, I love food, I want whatever. But, you know, it required that I really take an honest look at myself. It required that I go to the mirror and really see who is this person. And so I noticed that when I'm working with sponsees, you know, I ask them these two questions here. If when you honestly want to and you find it, you can't quit entirely. And then the other question is that you have even little control over. Do you have control over the food? You know? And if they can say in all honesty that they can't quit entirely, they don't have any control over it, you know, it controls them, then I say, you know what, you might be a compulsive overeater. Only you can define that. And I was grateful that this program allowed me to define that. And I defined that by being able to identify with Bill, because I ate like Bill ate. I thought like Bill thought, and I did what Bill did. There was no doubt about it, but it was so hard initially for me to come off of my high horse and make that admission. I remember when someone introduced me to this program, they gave me those questions, and I refuted every one of them. But my heart convicted me and told me otherwise. Oh, yeah, you belong there. You better pull up a chair and sit down for a while because there's a lot to learn. And that's what this has been for me. It has been like going to school all over again because I didn't get these lessons of life, and this book allows me to get it by studying it. You know, like it said in the preceding chapters, you learn something about alcoholism, and I truly have. And I'm so grateful to be here, and thank you, everybody on the line, and your shares, and thanks so much again. Thanks, Mo, and I pass.
Thank you, Pamela. Yeah. And before we take Dory P., I take Dory P., just remind everybody we're starting the chapter 4, We Agnostics, on page 44, the first paragraph in the preceding chapters. And after Dory P., I will take some more names. Good morning, Dory.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you very much for your service and for everyone's service on the line. Dory P., compulsive overeater in Atlanta. And in this paragraph, I have so many notes on the side of my of the page, and I'll quickly mention one of them. One of our fellows has a great special edition about the broken bridge between our memory of the suffering of overeating and our next action and how that bridge is broken. And that's kind of what came to me this morning when hearing it, that the honesty, you know, some of the fellows shared before that, you know, was it really there? Was it not there? For me, it was there. You can only sponsor up to your experience. You only know what you know. To me, my disease, I was honestly believing in it, and I believe that's the best I knew, that I want to quit, but I couldn't. And, you know, I heard this many times, that desire doesn't matter because that's the definition of addict. So I honestly believe I had the desire, but it didn't matter because I am an addict through and through. And even after I found recovery and I had a relapse, I was dumbfounded because I was like, now I understand what it is about. Before I didn't. But why is this happening? And you know, I have to come to terms with, oh, well, I'm still an addict. But then something that I was always confused about is, you know, this character defects, but there are things that served us once, and I could never understand it. And this morning just kind of clicked is when, one of mine is, you know, this false pride of self-sufficiency. And thinking back in my life, this is what society and my family rewarded, especially in the conditions and the part of the, you know, the world that I grew up in. And it got me so many things, self-sufficiency, and I needed it. And it served me so well until it didn't, when it, you know, and it manifested itself for me in my food. So I just, now I understand what the 12 and 12 talks about outgrown, character assets as being character defects. So that is something that I try to look at every day. How am I trying to be self-sufficient instead of relying on that spiritual experience, that connection with my higher power? And I do it every day. And the ideal is that one day I'll recognize it before I do it, but I'm not there yet. But it's good to know that there is a solution for an addict like me out there. So thank you for everybody's service, and I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Dori P. And so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on the first paragraph here in We Agnostics?
Wendy M.
Wendy M.
Ann R.
Anyone else? It's still warming up here this morning.
Olga F.
Olga. Olga F. So I have Wendy M, Ann R, Olga F. All right, I'll take those three and we'll go from there. So, Wendy, you're up. Everyone else, please mute your line. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everyone on the line. Wendy M, recovered compulsive overeater in Boulder, Colorado. So, I've been told that this paragraph is yet another step one. It's another concession. Like, if you can do this, if you can say that you can see to your innermost self that you've got this thing, then join us. You're probably a compulsive overeater of the chronic description, the way we are. And I, too, love the word honest, because this disease is about being dishonest. And the way I like to put it is I've been dishonest, until I'm not, right? Because the disease is in my own voice. So I don't even know that I'm swimming in it. I don't even know that I'm swimming in the disease. And the beautiful thing about this program is that we begin to discern the true from the false. That's the promise in this program. And one of the truths is I've got this thing. I've got this thing, and I can't control it. I can't enjoy it and control it. I can't control it, whatever. It's the same thing. You can't enjoy and control our compulsive overeating. We have this thing. But what's amazing, it's really an amazing moment, is that we have an answer. There's a solution here. And most of us, for myself, I didn't come in until 39 years old. So I didn't know there was a solution for a long time. And even when I was in the rooms for 15 years, I was dieting with group support. I didn't even know it. I was swimming in it. I was swimming in the disease. My mind, it was in my voice. So that's what I was doing, and that's fine. Until I, frankly, came to Vision and Big Book, and then something really turned around. But the fact that there's a spiritual experience, what is that? You mean I can stop plugging into myself as the solution, or plugging into food as the solution, or plugging into anything as a solution? That there's a spiritual experience. What is that? And I just have to share that the experience for me, a spiritual experience today, is crazy good. I am connecting with the flow. I am literally experiencing God in my body, right? For me, this has to be a spiritual experience. It cannot be, for me, a spiritual awakening. It can't be a concept. And what's really amazing is I don't know that I believe in God, but I experience God constantly, especially when I'm doing the deed. And when I'm honest with you guys, I pick up the phone and I say, hey, this is how I've been treating my mother. Oh, this is how what I wanted to eat it, blah, blah, blah. I tell you the truth, then everything just gets, my whole body relaxes. and I experience God, and God's cheering me on, saying, yay, yes, tell the truth, no matter how, you know, awful you feel, or work with that newcomer, or it doesn't even matter, weigh and measure your food. Whatever the action is, I get to God, and then I have a spiritual experience. And that experience, thank you, keeps me, you know, able to help another person. Thanks so much, Mo.
Hey, thank you, Wendy. Ann R., followed by Olga F. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, fellows. This is Ann R. from California, a compulsive overeater. I am so grateful for this book and for this meeting that takes me into one paragraph at a time. I struggle with the honesty part, because it says here, if when you honestly want to, you find you cannot quit entirely. That's me, written all over the page. I consider myself a think-a-lot, which means that I get stuck in the reactions that I have to myself, my thoughts, my feelings, my wants, ad infinitum. I just have strong reactions to that. And this paragraph goes on to tell me that I don't have control over those reactions. I don't have control over how much I eat or don't eat, or what I do eat, or, you know, again, ad infinitum. It goes on and goes on, and I get lost in it. I don't know what to call recovery anymore. I'm aware of this book, and this book has saved my life for many years, and yet I'm this fumbling, I almost said idiot, but see, that's my disease trying to share too. This fumbling person to try and stay connected to a higher power in the moment, in the breath. I can't do the day count anymore. It's like I have to do the hourly count or the minute count. And I am so grateful for the fellows that are out in the world that I connect with on a regular basis, and especially for the message of hope that I get when I listen here as we look into the book, the big book. Well, it says here that only a spiritual experience will conquer. That's what I hear in this meeting. I hear from others, from my fellows that understand this pain, understand this process, understand my disease with food, my dance with it. But they speak about, you speak about a healing, a safety place, a reality where you're satisfied, and it appears to have nothing, pardon me, it appears to have nothing to do with what I think will get me there. It appears to have to do with that God connection, that higher power connection, and the total surrender to that. And I think that that's what this paragraph is reminding me of, because the word only is right there. Only a spiritual experience will conquer. That tells me that no human power could relieve this compulsive overeating that I have, this relationship, this love affair with chew. It's insane. And today, there is a God who loves me enough to meet me where I'm at, which is childlike and pretty broken, and not it's like I got to give up my think a lot. I got to give up my way to try and figure this out and surrender to something that I, and with that I pass, and thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Olga F., and after Olga, I'll be able to take some more names. Good morning, Olga. Press star 1 to unmute, Olga.
Good morning, Mo. This is Olga in California. And what stands out for me is just the last part of that paragraph, that only a spiritual experience will conquer. And I think, what is that? What is a spiritual experience? How do I get that? And it reminds me of the time that I was in Italy and at the Vatican and saw the Sistine Chapel and got to see something that I'd seen in books so many times. And that was the painting by Michelangelo on the Sistine Chapel. And there's the creation of Adam, and you see God reaching out and Adam reaching out and being that gap right there in between. And it just reminds me that all I can do to get that spiritual experience is make the effort, take the action, work the steps, just do what I can do every day, and the results are up to God. And, you know, God is just waiting for me to just reach out. And that little gap, I've heard it said before in these meetings, that little gap there between Adam and God's fingers meeting is called grace. And that's all we can do, is just take the action, do the best we can, follow our food plan, follow the steps, read, make calls, do all these things, and, you know, just pray and pray that grace is going to happen for us. And that's all I wanted to share, and I pass.
And thank you, Olga. And I'll remind everybody where we are again. We're on starting chapter 4, We Agnostics, page 44, the first paragraph in the preceding chapters. And so I have room for some more names if you haven't shared in the last 3 days.
Rosalind C.
Rosalind, was that?
Rosalind C.
Got it. Rosalind C. Someone after you?
Laura L.
Laura L. Maybe one more? So I have Rosalind C. and Laura L.
Carol
G. Okay. All right. Let's go with those three. So I have Rosalind C., Laura L., and Carol G. Rosalind, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to share this morning. My name is Rosalind C. from Ohio. And I just got on the call, and this was standing out to me as the first paragraph that we are in. But this paragraph is, to me, not so much, you know, it's a spiritual experience right now, but it's establishing why you need that power. And it's that, to me, it's like you now have a clear distinction between you cannot quit, you cannot control, and you're identifying that you have the same problem that we all have in this room, is an addiction. And it's greater than myself. It's something that I can't overcome by myself. And so with that clear understanding, it's time now to give something or give over to something greater than myself. And so this just really stood out as being powerful, is when you have identified and established a need for something greater than yourself. Now you can accept that the plight that we're all in and look towards something else that's powerful, more powerful than you. So the spiritual experience will come later as you now can take that identification and realize that there's nothing within yourself that can lead you, guide you, or direct you from this devastating plight that we all are in. And so I just think, you know, this is very powerful to look at, because now we're identifying with one another. Not on a religious plane. We're identifying. We are compulsive, addictive, chronic alcoholics with food. And so once we're there, we've just taken a step. And with that, I pass. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Rosalind C. Laura L., followed by Carol G. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning. I'm Laura L., and I'm a compulsive overeater, grateful, recovering, happy to be here. This talk of the spiritual experience is so meaningful to me. Clearly, I've got the disease of compulsive overeating, and just because I have a reprieve doesn't mean I need to get cocky. The reprieve is a gift that is given to me. as I work through the steps, it is my hope that I will experience that spiritual experience as I surrender ever more deeply to higher power through working the steps. And it's been said that life is just one surrender after another. It just depends on how long you want to hold on to something. And I really feel the truth of that right now. It's funny. I see that I've been being worked on throughout the years by higher power and just really being ready to let go of everything and to seek higher power. That is my cure. And the gift of having the threat of a relapse or the threat of, okay, I have this condition, this addiction. There's that, but even more strongly now is the draw of that spiritual experience. That's what calls me. I want that happy, joyous, and free life. I've found that without that, there's really not much else to want because all else is really fleeting and unstable. So that's where I am right now. Extremely grateful to be here, and that's all I've got. I'll pass.
And thank you, Laura L. Carol G., good morning. And after Carol, we might have time for one more quick share. Good morning, Carol.
Good morning. I was looking over the reading, and it's like, wow, the reading itself doesn't really talk about a spiritual awakening or experience, and yet that's what attracted me to share today. People talking about that, and I don't want to bring up something outside, but it was a children's book that somebody sent me that was mentioned in a meeting, and I'll just say one of the words was velveteen in the title, and the reason I'm bringing it up is it's about an animal talking to another animal, stuffed animal, and saying, how do you become real? I'm going to get choked up, and the animal says, when a child loves you really, really for a long time, and that love makes you real. And I feel like for me, my spiritual experience was program giving me hope that life could be better and giving me hope that there could be love and then giving me hope that there could be a God that I feel that love and just opening the door just a little bit and then seeing the miracles start to happen. And then when the miracles start to happen and you start seeing it's not just a coincidence, then all of a sudden I started feeling more faith and my relationship with my higher power strengthened. And this is how my life changed. And I feel that bond and that faith and that love has changed my life in a real way. And that's what I love about this program. Is that I can talk to people who are being real or on the way to being real, and we are so blessed. And I wasn't planning on sharing, and part of it was like, well, nobody's stepping up, so say something. And and I just want to say one other thing. I have a cousin who's an agnostic, and she's having trouble with her weight. I might have mentioned I was in a 12-step program, but I don't think it registered. And when I hear her talking, I'm like, wow, she doesn't know. She doesn't know about the secret that we know, which really shouldn't be a secret at all. And I was praying, God, how can I help her? And then I saw, because I was looking on my phone, because I couldn't find my big book, and I saw, oh, my gosh, the chapter is We Agnostics, and my cousin is an agnostic. So, it meant something to me that it was a coincidence. But anyway, thank you. And it's nice to share. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Carol G. And we are going to close with that share. I really appreciate all those who stepped up this morning. I think we were a little sluggish because it's Monday and daylight savings time. And anyway, thank you all for your service. And we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And so we'll, let me see, who do I got reading? Shelley E., please read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
You bet. Good morning. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Texas. Page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.